So we're in chapter 2, and we're in the second half of chapter 2. And the title of the outline, so I want you to repeat this after me, okay? Is the Spirit is the inner life in outer clothing.
Amen.
Okay? Spirit is the inner life in outer clothing.
Okay, brothers.
Spirit is the inner life in outer clothing.
Sisters.
The Spirit is the inner life and the outer clothing.
Okay, so the Spirit is two things. The first is?
The inner life.
And the second is?
The outer clothing.
Okay, the inner life and the outer clothing. Okay, so before we begin any further, it's important to note that this is the second message as it relates to the economy of God. Okay, so just a real briefly, the first message is kind of a general summary of the economy of God from the vantage point of the triune God.
Amen.
Okay, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit.
Right.
Okay, so God is processed.
Amen.
Okay,
Amen.
He has been processed.
Amen.
To many Christians, they don't know what this means.
Uh-huh.
And it could be somewhat confusing. But the reality is that God the Father came in the Son and is now the Spirit.
Amen.
So when we now receive God, we receive the triune God.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
So I don't want to go too much further because it's already been shared. Go to the the website because it's been shared and been recorded. Okay. But the end of this all is that God is now the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, so this is message two. Message two is titled, The All-Sufficient Spirit.
Right.
Okay, so the positioning of this message is very specific.
Amen.
Okay, because God's economy cannot be real to us unless God, who is triune, is now the all-sufficient Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, all-sufficient is very important.
Amen.
All-sufficient because we now can experience Him.
Amen.
Okay, God the Father at one point was unexperienceable.
Yes.
Okay, man could not experience Him.
Right.
And even Christ, when He became a man, until He became the life-giving Spirit, could not get into man.
Yeah.
There was still something short. But now the all-sufficient Spirit, the complete processed God,
Amen.
Is now experienced by man.
Amen.
By us.
Amen.
We can now experience God. So God is no longer separate from man. He's not just in the heavens or walking among man, but He is now dwelling in man by those who have received Him.
Amen.
So today, we just can not only say objectively that God is all-sufficient, but because we can experience Him, He is all-sufficient in our experience.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
God's economy is to mingle Himself with man.
Amen.
In a simplistic sentence, is to mingle Himself with man.
Amen.
Okay, so what is the all-sufficient Spirit to us? He's two things in this first point that we've already memorized. He is the what?
Inner life.
And He is the what? He's the inner life and He's the outer clothing. So
Amen.
The all-sufficient Amen. Spirit is the inner life.
Okay,
so John 7, 37 through 39. And I'm just going to read it to you for the sake of time. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.
Yeah.
He who believes into me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Okay, so here's the key verse right here. But this he said concerning the Spirit.
Yeah.
Capital S, whom those who believed into Him were about to receive, for the Spirit was not yet,
right.
because Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Right.
Okay, so we see clearly that the all-sufficient Spirit is the inner life, and we need Him as the inner life. Okay, So the Spirit, as the inner life, needs to indwell us.
Amen.
And He indwells us so that we can drink of Him. This means we need to be thirsty to drink of Him. Okay, so this point in the economy of God actually is touched on very briefly. Okay, the real emphasis in this point is the second part of what the Spirit is, which is the what?
The outer clothing,
okay? And that's Luke 24:49. And if anyone can get it before I can, please feel free to read.
And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you, but as for you, stay in the city until you put on power from on high.
Amen. Okay, so here's the word put on. Okay, put on power. So literally in the Greek, that literal word could be translated clothing. So to put on power. So the Spirit is our clothing, and we need to put Him on. So here's the reality. The Spirit is essential. The essential Spirit is who we experience inwardly. Okay, the economical Spirit is our clothing. This is who we experience economically, who we place on us. So when you read Acts, in Acts, the Spirit came down upon them. Okay, so Acts is the Spirit of clothing. So the example that's been given is a police officer.
Right.
Okay, the police officer, if he was to walk into the street, okay, without just being clothed like me, and he just did this, stop, what would happen? He'd get run over, right? The police officer would get run over. But when the police officer puts on his garments, his uniform, thank you, he can walk into the street. If he does this, then what happens? He stops. Okay, because the clothing represents the person. Okay, the clothing represents the power, the authority. And a police officer has authority and power, whether you like it or not. He does. So the Spirit today is our clothing. Okay, but what needs to happen experientially? Experientially, I love this example. The police officer wakes up in the morning and he has his good breakfast. Okay? He eats, he gets supplied, he gets sustained, he gets nourished. Then the police officer can go out and carry out his duties perfectly. Okay, so Christ today is the life inwardly. He's our food and He's our drink.
Amen.
We need to wake up in the morning. We need to enjoy Him.
Amen.
We need to be
Amen.
Supplied by Him.
Amen.
As the, what's the first aspect? As the inner life. Okay, then we put on the clothes and then we walk out. And what is that aspect?
The outer clothing.
Amen. He's the inner life and He's the outer clothing. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And then the last point is that the Spirit is the life-giving, liberating, and transforming Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, are you ready to repeat it? The Spirit
is the life-giving, liberating, and transforming Spirit.
Okay, sisters.
The Spirit is the life-giving, liberating and transforming Spirit.
Brothers,
the Spirit is the life-giving, liberating, and transforming Spirit.
All together one more time.
Yes.
The Spirit is the life-giving, liberating, and transforming Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord that He is the life-giving, liberating, and transforming Spirit.
Amen.
Okay. This ultimately, this point separates us from the majority of Christians on the earth today. It separates us. Because we know the Spirit as the life-giving, liberating, and transforming one.
Amen.
Okay? That means that we are subjectively experiencing Him day by day. Okay? The last Adam became the
life-giving Spirit.
This life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
Okay? for our experience. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in the verses that are given are in 2 Corinthians 3, 6. Who has also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, ministers not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Okay? The Spirit gives life. Okay? This means that we need to be those who are receiving that life. If the Spirit is given, this means we need to be those who are receiving.
Amen.
Okay? So when you walk into a room, and I'll say, brothers, if your wife gives you a long face, okay? You walk into a room and you see this long face. Okay? Does that give life? No, it doesn't. But if you walk into a room and your wife is smiling, do you feel like there's a sense of life there? Yeah, absolutely. Okay? The Spirit is smiling. We need to look into the index of the Lord's eyes.
Amen.
And get His smile.
Amen.
And there is life there. The Spirit is transmitting life.
Amen.
The Spirit is transmitting life.
Amen.
Okay? And then liberated. And that's 2 Corinthians 3:17. So we're right there. And the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Amen.
Okay? So first the Spirit is giving life. And then the Spirit is freedom. The Spirit is liberating. So when we're one with the Lord, we're one with the Spirit. Okay, we are set free.
Amen.
It's almost like the scroll has been opened and the Lord reads the passage of the Jubilee.
Amen.
Right? We're free.
Amen.
We're free. You know those Christians who are enjoying Christ because they're free.
Amen.
They're free to love Him. They're free to speak Him.
Amen.
They're free to enjoy Him.
Amen.
They're free.
Amen.
The Spirit is liberating.
Amen.
Okay. And then the last point is that the Spirit is transforming.
Amen.
Okay, and this is 2 Corinthians 3, 18.
Amen.
But we all with unveiled face,
beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit.
Okay, so there's a line in here. To be transformed does not merely mean to be changed outwardly, okay, but changed both in nature, within, and in form, without. Okay, so this is very deep. The transformation takes place within, and it even takes place without. So how do we know this? How do we know this, okay? So in 3:18, but we all with unveiled face. That means that if you put a veil in front of a mirror and you try to look into the mirror, what are you going to see?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's just going to be the veil, right? You can't see anything but the veil.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So when we're looking at the Lord, that means that when we're having some intimate, personal time with Him, okay, if we're veiled, what can we see? What can we see? So we need to pray first, Lord, remove the veils. Okay. But the removal of the veils is for a purpose. Okay, it is not just so that we can just be looking at the Lord. It's for a purpose. Okay, the purpose is that we would behold and reflect like a mirror the glory. Okay, the glory of the Lord. So when we're looking at the Lord, we're being transfused with Him by the all-sufficient Spirit inwardly. Okay, but what happens is in this state of transformation, by absorbing the glory of the Lord inwardly, something is expressed outwardly.
Yeah,
right.
So you couldn't have a long face. You can't have a long face when you're being infused with Christ.
Yeah.
all you can express is glory.
Amen.
Have you ever seen a sad person express glory? No. And we're not talking about being happy or sad here. We're talking about glory.
Amen.
Okay? The experience of Christ, the experience of the all-sufficient Spirit, is expressing ultimately God as glory. And this is the process of transformation.
Amen.
This is the process of transformation. And this is what the Spirit is bringing us through the more we look at Him.
Amen.
The more we look at Him. Anyhow, so saints, this is why it's so important to see that in the third stage of God's process, okay, that He became the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
That this Spirit, this all-sufficient one, okay, this all-sufficient Spirit is for our experience, so that in God's economy, He could mingle Himself with us, so that way He could be our life inwardly, He could be our outward clothing, He could be our life. That's right.
Amen.
The life-giving one.
Amen.
The liberating one.
Amen.
And the transforming one. Okay? So, really, the Spirit is so many things. And this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.